Venerable religious, my dear faithful, I had the great honor yesterday to officiate my second wedding as a priest. And so while that thought is still fresh in my mind, those events, I'd like to take this opportunity this morning to talk about the sacrament of matrimony. We know that Adam walked in the garden of paradise. He walked and he talked with God, but even God himself said, "It is not good for man to be alone. Let us make a helpmate like unto himself." So we know the story that God put Adam to sleep, and while he slept, he took out one of his ribs and he fashioned Eve from the side of Adam. And it's interesting to note, the church fathers talk about the fact that God chose the rib bone, from the side of Adam and not a bone from a different part of his body. They said that symbolized not a total equality. If he would have taken a bone from the head of Adam, it would have symbolized total equality between men and women, but we know that that's not. In the judgment seat of God and in the eyes of Almighty God, all people are equal, but he did not create men and women perfectly equal. A very unpopular opinion nowadays, but it's the truth. He also didn't take a bone from Adam's foot to show that she was like a slave under him, but he took it from his side to show a support, a helpmate, someone who was going to assist Adam. And it's interesting, so you have that in the Garden of Paradise, he formed Eve, and thus in Paradise, Adam and Eve, after she was formed, was the first time in human history the two sexes were joined together. It was the first marriage. It was in the Garden of Paradise. And so from that time to the present day, the human race has continued to exist through this union of men and women coexisting. And we call this the end proper in marriage. So the proper end of marriage is the procreation or rearing of children, right? That's the number one reason that God instituted it. The second reason for marriage is for mutual love and support. We unfortunately live in a day and age where those two roles are reversed. They want to make it seem as if marriage is all about the couple and their mutual happiness, exclusive of every other thing. But we know that God constituted marriage and matrimony and the union of the sexes to procreate, to create new human beings. It's interesting, we look at the public life of our Lord. He chose a wedding feast to work his first public miracle. So you have all these instances where he could have worked a miracle. He maybe could have raised someone from the dead. He could have walked on water sooner had he so chose to use these different circumstances to reveal his divine power. But he chose a wedding feast. And he didn't save the life of a person, but he saved the reputation of a young couple from embarrassment. That was his first use of his divine power in a public way, manifesting that he was God at a wedding feast. And perhaps that's an example to our married couples that God is especially has you in mind. You're part of his plan, a very important part of his plan. And we know that he also did that miracle at the behest of his blessed mother. Another example for our married couples that if you want blessings in your married life, you can have a strong devotion to Our Lady. See, Christ came down from heaven to redeem fallen man. When he did that, he instituted the seven sacraments. And he took marriage, which for a long time was the natural marriage bond, just a simple legal contract, and he raised it up to the dignity of a sacrament, one of those seven divine sacraments instituted by God to give grace to men. And so matrimony, it's a sacred thing, it's a holy thing. It gives sanctifying grace. And so the effects of this sacrament should be holiness of life, the mutual sanctification of husband and wife, leading each other on in the practice of virtue. So if your married life is leading each other into sin, you're going directly against the very sacrament, the very promises you made to each other when you conferred that sacrament on each other. So it should be that our married life is a constant striving after virtue, a constant encouraging each other in the practice of virtue. It's a very beautiful thing, the admonition. So the ceremony starts, of course, usually the groomsmen come in first and line up on the epistle side, Then the bridesmaid, maid of honor, on the gospel side, and finally the bride and her father come up the aisle, and she's handed away to her future husband, and then they enter into the sanctuary, and the priest says a prayer, and then he gives them an admonition, usually in English, in the ritual, and it's a very, very beautiful admonition. It's absolutely gorgeous. You can tell whoever wrote that was definitely divinely inspired. But it promises in that admonition to those who are to be wed the greatest amount of happiness allotted to man in this veil of tears. Now that's a very stupendous promise, to promise someone, if you follow God's law in your married life, God's going to promise you the greatest possible measure of happiness that he can possibly give to man in this life. He's going to give it to you, but only if you follow his law. And so we see the importance of Catholics marrying Catholics. Now, I'm not saying that you couldn't, that a young person in our parish couldn't date a non-Catholic, but there was an old movie back in the 50s, they used to produce a lot of Catholic films, where it was a movie about the martyrs, and it's kind of like a St. Cecilia, St. Valerian situation where she's beautiful, he falls in love with her, and she's very strong in her faith, and her strong virtue converts him, and they both become Catholic. Well, she's already Catholic, he converts. And the final scene of this movie was these two, now man and wife, being led to the Colosseum because they're going to die for the faith. And the very last shot of the movie is they're walking toward the camera from a distance, and they're holding hands. Their hands are joined together, and of course that symbolizes their bond, the matrimony bond. It symbolizes their love for each other. They're both looking the same direction, towards the Colosseum, towards their martyrdom. And that's because they're both looking towards the same goal. But if you have a situation where you love someone or you want to marry someone that's not Catholic, your hands are locked together, you love each other, but you're looking in different directions. You have different goals in your life, and it's going to present very difficult challenges to your marriage. So the church discourages mixed marriages, but I would encourage those who are thinking or considering the married state, if maybe you like someone who's not a Catholic, you got to be sure to show that person a good example and to lead them to the practice of the faith. It was very beautiful at the reception last night. They had, of course, everyone has to have their time on the microphone to express their thoughts. And the father of the groom was the last to speak, I think. And he talked about the importance of sacrificial love in marriage, sanctifying each other. It was a very beautiful testament to their Catholic faith, a very Catholic reception, very nice thing to see. And he talked about something very profound. He said, our family rosary that they've always prayed, they always pray for their children to know their vocation. And if that vocation was the married state, one of the intentions of that rosary was to pray for their future spouse. And so you think about it, here's this young man, 24, 25. He's known his spouse for maybe a year, or he only met her about a year ago, year and a half maybe. But he's been praying for her his entire life. For 23, 24 years, he's been praying for this girl who he was eventually going to meet and marry, who was going to have a very profound influence on his future. So it's a very beautiful testament. It was a very beautiful testament to how the parents did such a good job of raising this young man in his faith, to be strong in his faith, and to really supernaturalize his married vocation, which today is so often just put on a natural level, seen as just a natural romance, and that's it. So I encourage our married couples to strive to sanctify each other, to encourage each other in the practice of virtue, to remember those solemn promises you made before God and before your family and friends 6 months ago or 60 years ago, whatever it was. And I highly encourage those who are considering the married state, every single day of your life, if you think that's what you're called to pray for your future spouse. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.